Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Now, under the Supreme Court's ruling, the ban would block entry of nationals from six of these Muslim majority countries for 90 days, except for those with a bona fide relationship with a person or entity here in the United States. Anyone blocked would first be stopped overseas rather than be detained here in cities like New York. Glenn Schuck, 1010 Winds at JFK.
So there we go, kids. There it is. Travel ban. We're about 52 minutes away from it taking effect. How does this affect you? The reality is it's not really going to affect a lot of people, but something to talk about. Today, maybe that's why the president did what he did when he sent out his crazy tweets. But we got bigger things. We got health care. We got tax reform. We got immigration. We're going to touch on that later on. We got so much stuff that's happening. But what gets taken away from all of this is the energy that people have to focus when it comes on to what? Some of the stuff that the president does. Today, he tweets about Mika Brzezinski on the Morning Joe. You don't know who that is? You're not alone. A lot of people don't. Unless you're a news junkie, you probably don't know who Morning Joe is. Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, they're engaged to be married. They have this show. It's a roundtable. It's mostly a bunch of, Eastern elitists who sit around, and they hammer the president 24-7. By the way, was he Senator Scarborough or Congressman? I can't remember. And he was a Republican. And they sit around, and they hammer the president, and it gets old. And, but they get like 500,000-600,000 people a day that watch them. So we're not talking about millions. There's not 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 million people watching these people. There's not. But to take your time out of the day and to send tweets saying, they wanted to hang out with me at Mira Largo, but she just had a facelift for plastic surgery and she was bleeding everywhere. So I said, no, gross. You don't need to do that. You don't. Tonight, you've got a very big dinner, right? You've got the president of South Korea here to talk about all the things that are going on with the country next to him, who is run by a little gross individual who at any given time may flip his lid and God knows what he may do. And what are the questions you're getting asked? I'm just curious. It's not about Moon Jae-in. It's not about that. It's not about how is this going to go tonight? What are you guys going to talk about? It's not about any of those things. As it should be. What's the relationship? South Korea and China going to get together along with Japan to talk about THAAD, defense system. What is going on? Why aren't you guys talking about that? How can you guys prepare yourself as a just in case? What's happening here? How can we get China into the mix? Is there things that we can do to prevent him from going off the reservation and firing something and killing a lot of people? Or what's going to happen? No, it's none of that. It's what did you do this morning that made you decide I'm going to fire off a tweet about Mika Brzezinski and Morning Joe and their ratings and how she had a bleeding face? What? And people are, if you support Trump, you're texting me and I get it. And that's fine. 323-538-2423. You could tweet at us at Chad Benson Show. I get it. This is great. This is what it's about. He shouldn't have to take this kind of stuff. It's not about that. What it does is it takes away from the messaging. You listen to talk radio. You watch some of the new stuff. You get it. 99% of the people don't watch 24/7 news cycles. They catch it once in a while. So when they flip on and they hear this stuff going on, it takes away from what we should be talking about. Healthcare. How we're going to fix this crap. When's it going to get into effect? Tax reform. When's that going to start rolling forward? Those things. Immigration. Two bills out today that we should be discussing, that we should be talking about, that we should be. But we're not, because you're getting questioned. Everybody around you is getting questioned. That, to me, is frustrating. It is. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. You want to chime in? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. It is a frustrating situation for, I think, a lot of people out there. And I am, look, I want the president to succeed. I don't care that he chimes off about the news media once in a while. I don't care that he chimes off, every once in a great while and says, you know, it's fake news, CNN, this, that, and the other. I don't, because they've earned their disdain from this president based on a lot of the crap that they have done. Absolutely. But it takes away from the messaging. And that's the problem. Healthcare. Been waiting for it, kids. Keep waiting. Tax reform being pushed back till fall, probably. That stuff frustrates people, and it frustrates me. It does. I don't need the tweets, because that, to me, frustrates the hell out of a lot of us. It does. And again, I want him to be successful. Paul Ryan, though, has to sit there and answer questions when he should be talking about a thing that really, really matters, healthcare.
I don't know when the Senate is going to bring their bill to the floor to vote. So as soon as the Senate gets a bill passed and done, I believe we can move fairly quickly around here.
Yeah. Yeah. Fairly quickly. When and if. Will it get done by Friday, as they're saying? And then maybe we'll start, you know, getting everything sorted out sooner rather than later, you know, after this recess? I don't know. Mitch McConnell saying today, hey, you know what? Don't make me call the Democrats, because I will. But that's the frustrating thing, is instead of really focusing on that, what happens? He does stuff like this, and it takes away from the actual thing at hand, which is, let's talk about this. But every other question was about Mika's tweet and the tweet from the president and the whole nine yards. And then Paul Ryan's got to say this.
What we're trying to do around here is improve the tone and the civility of the debate, and this obviously doesn't help do that.
It doesn't. It does not help doing that. Let's focus on stuff that matters. Stuff Mika Brzezinski does not matter to you in your life. Other stuff should matter to you in your life. The cost of health care, the rising cost of it, immigration. Is there going to be a wall? Isn't there? Are they going to pass some of these things that they're working out when it comes to sanctuary cities, things of that nature? We should be talking about those things. We should be debating them. We should see them go to the floor. We should see them get passed, because you have a majority and you can't make it work for you. And then you've got to sit around all day and answer questions and not get your message out. And take away from people trying to fight for you. I'm a talking head. I should be talking about this crap. I don't get too deep in the weeds, because it gets boring. I watch this stuff all day. I got to the point today where I couldn't even, you know, turn it on. I'm like, I'm going to watch the soccer game instead, which I probably would have done anyways, but it was a no-brainer. I'm like, I went to the pregame in Spanish early because I was so over the crap. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Mike in Indy, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, great show. So
thanks,
man. My point is that we're missing exactly the reason why he's doing everything he's doing. He's a street performer. You look at Chris Angel, he performs his magic by us not looking at where he's actually doing the magic, right? So
yeah.
So Trump is the classic distractor. He's getting everybody talking about, the MSNBC knuckleheads. And meanwhile, we're working on the wall. We're working on tax reform. We're working on health care and all the stuff. And he sucks the oxygen out of the room. And the talking heads, they can't see straight because he was mean to the girl. He doesn't care. He doesn't care to take all the attention and just let them do what they need to do. I'd liken him to Bob Knight back in the day with basketball. He'd do crazy stuff in the news conferences, but he'd take the heat off of his basketball players so they could just go out and perform the job and do what they needed to do.
Right on, my man. Appreciate that. And, Mike, look, I understand what you're saying. I've got a lot of people said that today. Well, you know, he takes, you know, this travel ban's going into effect. This is going to take up a lot of the oxygen. The problem is that's fine, right? Because your players are behind you. You don't have a united Republican Party behind you. They've already got enough struggles. They don't need any more struggles. They got enough issues. They do. And this doesn't help you when it comes to that. Plus, you've also got to sell this stuff to America. You're a great salesman. You're part P.T. Barnum, you know, part Rockefeller. I'm good with that stuff. But when you take away from the messaging that I'm trying to get out there, if I'm Paul Ryan and some of these other people, because we can't talk about anything other than this, that's frustrating. Having been in the sports world, having been there before, having had, you know, seen players have to answer question after question about things that have nothing to do with them, you see the frustration that eventually ends up building up inside of a locker room. When you're sitting there having to ask 1,000 questions about something that you have nothing to do with or you don't know too much about or you don't care anything about, but that's all the media focuses on. You could have hit the winning shot, but nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about all the other controversy. 844-DIG-CHAD. Kurt, Florida, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Nothing. I'm just kind of in agreement with the last caller. I think that this is all planned by Trump. It kind of keeps everybody from thinking about what's really going on. But if we really don't want to talk about it, then let's don't talk about it. Let's talk about his accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to talk about his accomplishments. But there are not a plenty of them out there right now that we could talk about what we should be really focusing on. And, you know, now we're hearing today that, hey, guess what? 61% of America, Kurt, they want to have tax reform. But now they were being told, hey, you know what? Tax reform is coming in the fall, potentially. Healthcare, God only knows where that's going to be and when it's going to happen. And it's still going to take a few years to implement. But people would like to get a clear, concise, you know, path that they think this thing's going to go on. And then you've got all the other stuff. Immigration, the wall. There's two bills they're talking about and debating today. These things need to be talked about and get out to the public. And it's great that he can take some of the heat off some of the people, the Mitch McConnells of the world, this, that, and the other. But at the same time, when you take away from the messaging and it becomes a circus, that frustrates a lot of other people along the way. And that's something that I think people have to understand. Appreciate your call, man. Hey, if you're hiring right now, I've got a great opportunity for you to find that perfect candidate. Get a little closer. ZipRecruiter.com. Boom. Oh, yeah. ZipRecruiter.com. Amazing. 100-plus job sites, single click. Most powerful technology you're going to find out there when it comes to job sites. And unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for the candidate to find you. They're actively, with their new powerful technology, going to go out there and find them. In fact, 80% of job posters on ZipRecruiter get candidates in less than 24 hours. Don't worry about juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and then hire that perfect candidate for you. It's easy to use ZipRecruiter's dashboard. They got this amazing dashboard that'll help you do all of that stuff. Find out why ZipRecruiter's been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, listeners of the Chad Benson Show, that's you out there. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/report. You do that, you can post your job for free today. ZipRecruiter.com/report. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for the travel ban that goes into effect in about 35 minutes? It's a moratorium, a pause, if you will, in traveling. But I'm going to tell you guys this right now. What's next for all the other countries that have people of Muslim Islamic descent who are going to be traveling? What's next for them? Will they be able to come to me? Yes, they're going to be able to come to America. Yes. This whole thing, that this is somehow a religious litmus test that of whether or not that you're allowed to be here, a means to, hey, this, you can't be here. Here's the, it's wrong. It's wrong. Indonesia's not on there. It's the most populous Islamic country on earth. They're not on there. Countries that are on there have issues. Some of them don't even have real functioning government. And it's not a forever thing. But what's next for the rest of the world is for them to just relax. Come here. Come visit. America's great. It is. It is. What's next for everybody else is business as usual. That's what's next for everybody else. Business as usual. It won't seem like that because tonight there'll be people protesting, people angry, people throwing fits, lawyers at airports across the country ready to at any given moment to snap into their super lawyer suit and charge. But what's next for the rest of the countries that are majority Muslim countries is it's business as usual. You can tweet at the show at Chad Benson Show, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us as always, 323-538-2423. A lot of people just sitting here, just tweeting at me. Lots of hate. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. At Chad Benson Show, if his tweets take away from important issues, then as a reporter, that's your fault. The tweet frustrates you, not us. Well, that's fine. For a lot of people, that's absolutely fine. It's as a person, though, who follows it and wants this president to be successful, I'm not looking at it from his point of view. I'm looking at it from other people's points of view, like Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and all the other people who have to sit around and answer questions about whether or not they think that Mika was bleeding from her face. Who's Mika? Exactly. You know what? I got a favorite Mika. I love that guy who sings Mika. That Mika singer sounds just like Freddie Mercury. He's great. But that's the insanity. You can tweet at us at Chad Benson Show. Text us 323-538-2423. Max Ehrenfreud is going to join us next. Talk about Seattle and the reports that are out. One from Berkeley, one from University of Washington, conflicting each other about the $15 an hour minimum wage. Which one's good? Which one's bad? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
$15 an hour. I eat out quite a lot because that's the kind of world I live in. Would $15 an hour hurt me if I had a business? Will it hurt me as a consumer? I don't know, but we're going to find out, and we're getting reports left, right, and center. Which one do we believe? Joining us now is Max Ehrenfreud, who is writes for Wonk Blog and the Washington Post. Appreciate you coming on today, man.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
So let me ask you a question. There are so many of these, you know, these things that come out about $15 an hour, but Seattle is the one that everybody's kind of looking at. And a couple weeks ago, Berkeley released their study saying, look, the liberals are right that this thing's going to help everybody. But Washington State came out with a different study that a lot of other people are paying more attention to because it looks a little bit more credible, and it doesn't look like it's going to help everybody.
That's exactly right. The study from the state of Washington, which is on the increase in the minimum wage in Seattle over a period of several years to $15 an hour, does suggest that many of the lower wage workers have lost opportunities for employment. Their employers have found that they can't afford those increased minimums.
You know, that's insane because, look, as a small business owner myself, I understand. I don't think people a lot of these times, these legislators and these lawmakers, they go out and they pass these things because they think, you know, everybody's got a small business. Really, it's like Scrooge McDuck. In the back, they've got a vault. There's lots of gold in there. And we're just these, you know, these evil slave drivers. But, you know, we produce products. We produce revenues. We produce jobs. And bigger companies don't feel it, Max, but smaller companies, which is the lifeline of this country, these small businesses, they feel it tremendously, and it really hurts low-skilled workers when you do something like this.
Yes, I think that's one of the important caveats to the new findings from the University of Washington in Seattle, which is that their study does not include larger employers or firms with more than one location in the calculations. And that's because the researchers couldn't distinguish between, you know, a McDonald's franchise in Seattle versus a McDonald's franchise a few blocks away that was not subject to the new minimum wage. But of course, liberal researchers and economists are pointing to this omission as a flaw in the study, because they say, as you point out, that the larger employers are better able, generally speaking, to deal with increases in the minimum wage.
Moving forward, you know, I mean, these studies are going to be more and more important. But do legislators really care? Because in the end, they think it's best if they can force the hand of small business to essentially cater to people that are low-skilled kind of people, because they're not looking to help the small business. They're looking for votes, and they think this is a great way to get votes.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's not just the legislators, it's the voters as well. And this November in the state of Washington, voters approved an increase in the minimum wage across the entire state to $13.50 an hour. And that had nothing to do with legislators. And likewise, it's not just, you know, a left or a right thing. I mean, Republican voters support increases in the minimum wage as well. And Arizona, which is a very red state, also voters there have approved an increase in the minimum wage. So you have to look at not just what politicians are doing, but also their constituents.
Which, you know, again, if you're a business owner, you understand. And you know, for me, having a small business and doing the things that I do, I look and it is, you know, I look at a lot of different things. I want to be able to pay somebody what they're worth. And a lot of times when you mandate, you've got to pay somebody this, guess what? He or she's not worth that right now. They're new into the game. Minimum wage wasn't supposed to be something to support a family. It was supposed to be a starting point. But now this has become a political football that everybody loves to kick around, which is it should be a living wage, not a starting point. And that is insane, Max.
Yes, that's a really interesting point that you make. I mean, when you talk about increasing the minimum wage, obviously some people are going to be better off. Some low-wage workers will make more money as a result of that. But at the same time, people who are worth less to their employers from the point of view of the bottom line, they may have more limited opportunities. And so there's a question there about whether that's fair or right. And I think it's a good question.
Talking to Max Ehrenfried, who writes for Wonk Blog, compiles on Wonk Book and the Washington Post. They're pretty reputable, newspaper there. And, you know, you see all this stuff. You're able to write about, you know, the politics, and you get out there and you see what's going on. And this is one of those things where the living wage is going to become more and more of, especially as we become more automated and especially as we move forward and the middle class is becoming pinched, you know, in all different sides. And you look at something like this where, you know, you look out in 5 years, and if Seattle's sitting there, what's that going to say to this $15 an hour? Because that's what I'm looking at. If I'm a small business and you're making me pay $15 an hour and I can't afford it, why would I stay in a state, a city, anywhere that's going to make me do something like that? Yet I can guarantee you other states and other cities are going to continue to try this because they think they have the way.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And part of the issue is that, you know, people are inclined to see things according to their pre-existing notions. And if you look at the city of Seattle, you might say, well, the minimum wage didn't work out there, but it's a very different city from many other cities in the country. It's you know, the economy is doing extremely well, first of all, in Seattle. They also rely on a number of export industries that have done very well recently. Boeing, of course, has a plant there. Microsoft is not far away. So in those respects, you know, supporters of the minimum wage might see Seattle as being, you know, different, importantly, from other cities and states elsewhere in the country.
You know, you always look at when politicians try to do something, you usually find out that the people they're trying to help are the people that end up getting hurt. And when I've read this report and looked through it, what lo and behold, who gets hurt? It's the low-skilled workers that get hurt, because if you're going to have to choose between, you know, A and B doesn't have the skills, but A does have some more skills, I'd rather give A the job than B, because I can't afford both of them. And, you know, what's their answer to something like that? They don't really have one. Again, they're just playing this political football and kicking it around for the sake of votes.
I think if you look at some of the other approaches that politicians have taken to helping the poor in this country, they have been more successful than the minimum wage so far. For instance, the earned income tax credit, which is essentially a bonus that the government pays to low-wage workers on their wages and salaries every year around tax time, has really, you know, changed the game for the poor. It's you know, given them another reason to get into the workforce, and it's also given them more money to spend on their families. And, you know, that's a policy that has a lot of support. Paul Ryan supports expanding it, the Republican Speaker of the House. And President Obama talked about it as well when he was in office, and he supported expanding it too. But, you know, some of these tested, tried-and-true bipartisan solutions, you know, they just don't seem to get anywhere in the political environment these days.
You know, one of the things that, you know, people don't talk about is how does this affect the patrons, the customer, you and I? And also, how does it affect other people who maybe make $17 an hour and they've worked hard to get there, and you know, it's going to cost more for goods, which, again, a lot of times legislators don't understand how business works, and you know that, Max. And the other thing that's going to happen is if I'm making $17 an hour and all of a sudden, magically, everybody gets $15 an hour, things are more expensive. You've taken away my buying ability. You've weakened my salary because somehow, magically, for a vote, you deserve $15 an hour.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and you know, this most recent study that we're talking about here from the University of Washington did not address it. They only looked at wages and not prices of goods and services in the city. You know, one interesting thing about Seattle is that since the economy is doing so well, a lot of the restaurants and establishments and stores are moving upscale anyway. They're looking to offer more products that cater to more affluent customers, because everyone in Seattle is really doing pretty well right now because of the economy there.
Yeah. You know, Seattle is a one-off, but as you said, you know, Arizona is raising, you know, California, several other states, especially progressive states, and even a red state like Arizona that's going to try something like this. And as we all know, Max, the minute the legislation does something, they rarely do they go, oh, we need to get rid of this. It's not helping. And it's only when you become Detroit or Illinois that people start to pay attention, and usually it's too late. And that's my fear for small business. And again, small business is the lifeblood of this country. As you know, they employ the most, not the big businesses we talk about, the Amazons of the world. It's the small business world. And they're the ones who are going to suffer the most because their dollar doesn't go as far as big business.
Yeah, I think that's an important question. I mean, what happens when the minimum wage has been increased, but the economy enters a recession? I mean, we don't really know. You know, many of these substantial increases in the minimum wage over the past several years around the country came after the financial crisis 9 years ago. And so they were implemented at a time when the economy was expanding, and we don't really know how businesses will react when economic circumstances change.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows. And the sad thing is, you know, these experiments happen to real people, and they hurt real people, and it's all for political gain. And that's the sad, sad part of this. Max Ehrenfreund joins us. Wonk Blog, he writes for it, compiles the Wonk Blog Daily Policy Newsletter. You can check it out. If anybody wants to tweet at you, what's your Twitter?
It's at Max Ehrenfreund.
All right, no worries. I'll put that up on the Facebook page. Thanks so much for coming on today. We know you're out and about having, I think, a little bit of a vacation. We appreciate you taking time for us.
Thanks, Chad.
The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. There's just, you know what, this debate's never going to go away, but my frustration in stuff like this, I'll tell you, as a person who has a business and is getting ready to start another one and does all the things that I do is what they do affects us, and they don't understand that. Yet they want us to employ more and more people, not realizing that we're not Scrooge McDuck. I don't have a safe with a bunch of money in it that I can just dive into it like it's liquid gold. That's baloney. But they don't get that. And it doesn't affect them. It doesn't. And that's frustrating. But we're an experiment. We're an experiment. Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality. With a twist. Say what?
Say what? Good news, people. Sex is great for you. Amazing. They put all these studies together and they found out a lot of things about sex that I think we already knew. First and foremost, sex puts you in a better mood. That's right. Evidence suggests that the feel-good effect of making love can be more about chemical than sexual abilities, but it does put you in a better mood. During lovemaking, orgasm, and a cocktail of endorphins, the body's natural mood-lifting opioids, neurotransmitters, and hormones are released. Oxytocin in particular, is a hormone that's released during and after sex. It's been shown to make people more generous towards their partners. It can also help induce calm and sleep. Gives you better heart health. That's right. Study, Queen's University in Belfast, found that having sex three times a week, say, what, could actually have a risk of heart attack or stroke. The idea that men are more at risk of a heart attack during lovemaking is mostly a misconception, and it actually can help your heart. Yeah, it helps mine. I know that. I'm just letting you guys know that. Here's something else. It increases immunity. Having more sex might increase immunity from colds and flu. So that's yet another reason, right? Because you don't want to get sick. You're like, honey, look, I'm not doing this for you or me. I'm doing this for our work, because if we don't do this, we could get a cold or flu and then pass it around the office, and you don't want to do that. Sex can also give you a longer life. One of the largest studies on longevity and sex conducted on Welsh men found that those who had sex less than once a month had double the risk of dying prematurely than those who had sex twice a week. And, honey, it's about keeping us alive longer. And finally, fertility. For those people trying to conceive, one of the biggest myths associated with fertility is that refraining from ejaculation boosts sperm motility. That's the rate at which individual sperm can move forward to penetrate the egg. That is wrong. Unless you have a low sperm count, it's exactly the opposite. The more sex, the better quality of the sperm. I teach you stuff, people. That's what I do. Sex sells. Go have more sex. Speaking of sex and sperm, city life may destroy a man's ability to conceive, having nothing to do with actual city life, but having all to do with the noise. Because apparently noise, even ambient noise from the city, can keep you awake and give you less than 5 hours or 6 hours of sleep, which over a period of time will reduce your chances of getting a woman pregnant by 43%. Think about that for a second. Say, what? And this was a big study. How big? 210,000 men ages 20 to 59 from ages 2006 to 2013. They calculated noise levels using information from the National Noise Information System combined with studies of participants' postal codes. And they found out that, yes, guess what? Noise levels of 55 dB, the equivalent of a suburban street, significantly increased a man's likelihood of being diagnosed with infertility. That's crazy. Man, that's crazy. I know. Say, what? So if you live quietly in the woods, not surrounded by much, in a nice little cabin, the chances of you knocking up plenty of ladies is probably great. But if you live in the city, chances of you getting somebody pregnant is reduced. Just throwing it out there, fellas. And finally say, what? This right here, this could be one of the stories of the week. This really could. We don't need to talk about Trump or the travel ban. We don't need to talk about the tweets. We need to talk about Conrad Kaufman, 25 years old of Missouri. He's been charged with first-degree kidnapping. You see, his sister, Cindy, was supposed to get married to John Grabber on Saturday. Both Cindy and Grabber left the Amish community before they became Mennonites. Her family was concerned about her upcoming nuptials. Grabber and Conrad text on Monday saying, hey, you know, is there any way we could chat? I'd like to see my sister before she gets married. He said, yeah, no worries. Right? And lo and behold, he drops her off. Yeah, he does that. And he splits with his sister, takes her to Illinois. Yeah, that's crazy, right? Now, we're still trying to figure out. This is the thing. Okay, so the Amish community is not happy about these two getting married because they've left the Amish community and then they went to the Mennonite community, which I think is, if I'm correct, I think that's a little Amish light. I don't want any of the Amish, you know, going all Shiite on me and stuff. Oh my God, here they come, you know, all jihadi. And they're like, they're still trying to figure out, okay, how is this guy who's supposed to be, you know, protecting his sister because he's going to marry a Mennonite, they're going to become Mennonites, and she left the Amish community when he's got a Facebook page with him getting hammered and driving an ATV. Now, I am not very familiar. Producer Phil, you lived in the Ohio area for a while. You saw many of the Amish folk. Do you ever remember them having ATVs?
No, not at all. In fact, there are actually some upper Montgomery County here.
Yeah, see, I don't remember any of that. Now, I've been there, and I know about the Rundspruken, whatever it is, when they leave for a little while and come back, but that's long before 25. So, you know, I don't know how this fits, but the fact that a man kidnapped his sister is also really creepy, and it's Missouri. A little creepiness there, too. I'm just saying, put it all together, and it's just odd. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.